Dub Nation, you're listening to the Warriors Post Up with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy.
.118-108 was your final. Warriors losing to the LA Lakers for the second time this year. Steph Curry was 4 of 17, 0 of 8 in the second half. Didn't score in the second half. Only 13 points. Andrew Wiggins had a good game, 20 points and 6 rebounds, a 3 assists. 17 for Brandon Podziemski, though a couple of those buckets came, you know, after the game was decided. But, you know, on the whole, the size of the Lakers, especially Anthony Davis, that was a huge, huge factor in this game. 36 points, 13 rebounds, 1 block, 3 steals, and 3 assists for Davis, who was really, really good tonight. 13 of 23. James was 12 of 25 with 12 assists, 25 points. Dalton Connect with 13 off the bench. But it was, to me, Tom, this game hinged on, you know, the Warriors' lack of attention to detail on the defensive end. And I just thought that there were too many breakdowns, too many plays where guys maybe overhelped, and the Lakers had a festival of corner threes tonight that were wide, wide open.
Yeah, it wasn't the total number of threes. They only had 10. It was the timeliness of them right in the middle of runs, extending runs, and it was where they came from. They only hit 5 threes in the second half, but 4 of them were wide open corner threes. But we talked about the paint before the game, and it wasn't that it was a gargantuan number of points they gave up in the paint. They gave up 56. I mean, that's quite a bit, but it's not going to doom you. What doomed them was in the second half, they scored 30 points in the paint. Again, a big number to be sure, but not a monstrous number. But of those 30 points, they were 15 for 16 from the field in the paint. Missed one shot in the paint in the second half. That is it. So they had no problems once they got to the paint finishing. And that's part of the problem, is like when they're dominating in the paint, you collapse your defense. And when you collapse your defense, they kick it out, and you get those easy corner threes. So it really kind of started inside, and it started inside with Anthony Davis. And then he just kind of extended out a little bit to the free throw line, then a little bit further to 18 feet. And he had a run there of about 4 minutes where he just wasn't missing anything. And he just was fantastic tonight, 36 and 13 at 3 assists. You mentioned all the numbers. He was really, really good. So he's just a tough match, really, really tough matchup for the Warriors. And then when you have a game where, you know, Steph doesn't shoot it well, 4 for 17, 2 for 9, the length of the Lakers, I thought, bothered him. And then he missed a few shots that he normally makes that he just didn't tonight. And it happens. But you got to have somebody else that can pick him up. Well, Buddy Hield, 3 for 9, 2 for 8. Like, he's a guy that I'm not breaking any news here, but the offense obviously is going to work a whole bunch better when he is making, 38, 39, 40% of his threes. And you got two shooters and two threats out there. And you still got to respect Buddy Hield, but he's just not making them pay right now. So, you know, it's just a difficult night, difficult matchup. But, look, these are the type of games that you're going to have to win if you want to start moving up the ladder just a little bit. Because there's about 5 or 6 teams that are going to be right around where you're at. We saw them play one a couple nights ago. Kings lost to them. Loss to the Lakers. You know, there's going to be the Clippers. There's going to be the Suns. There's going to be the Spurs that are going to be, you know, kind of hanging around the play-in mix. It's just tough when you lose those games because you can pick up a game on them. They've already lost 2 to the Lakers. The next 2 are going to be down in L.A. So, you know, just a tough evening. But, you look at the stats, and it wasn't like they got dominated anywhere. You know, you look at the rebounds, pretty similar. Assists, pretty similar. Turnovers, about the same. It just the Lakers were able to shoot 55%, Warriors only 46%, and they couldn't make that up enough with their – they only made 16 threes out of 46 attempts. So, like we said before the game, these teams are fairly similar, as a lot of them are in the kind of the middle of the pack in the Western Conference. And the more of these you can pick up wins, the better off you're going to be.
You know, and if you look at the rest of this homestand, yeah, you've got to beat Utah, and then – to me, the other game you have to win is Phoenix, right?
Yep.
And then if you can split the next two, Oklahoma City and Orlando, win one of those games, then I think, you know, finishing off this homestand will be very successful. But, you know, again, you can't – there's going to be a point in the season where the lack of, you know, cashing in on winnable games is going to come back to haunt you.
Yeah.
And especially because, you know, you may be – you know, you talk about the teams around them. You start losing, you know, tiebreakers, you know, three-quarters of the way through the season.
Yeah.
And that's going to make it difficult because now if you're trailing that team by one game, now you're trailing them by two.
Yep.
So.
Well, what are you, Warriors, 0-2 against Suns?
I don't have to look that one up.
1-2 or 1-1. I don't know where. What are we?
0-2 against Sacramento.
0-2 against Sacramento. 0-2 against the Lakers.
Right.
So.
0-2 against the Clippers, I believe. 0-3. Against the Clippers?
I mean, so.
1-1 against the Suns this season.
1-1. So, yeah, you mentioned the next game will be a big one. You fall to 1-2 against them. You're going to start losing all the tiebreakers to everybody you need the tiebreakers
right
against. And because I can almost assure you that there's going to be some ties at the end of the year in the 5 through 11 spot. There are going to be some teams that are tied. And, I mean, you hate to think about it, but if there's a tie between 10 and 11, you know, tiebreaker, get you to a play-in game, whereas you wouldn't get to a play-in game. I think that's the way it'll work.
So right now, they have two games left against Sacramento.
Yep.
But right now, they wouldn't hold the tiebreaker, and they're a game back of Sacramento for a play-in spot, so really they're two games back.
Yep.
If they lose to the Suns in this homestand, they'd be basically two games back of the Suns as well, and then they're really now 4.5 behind the Clippers when if you add in the tiebreaker. And, again, if the Lakers win one of the last two, right now they'd be 5 games back of the Lakers. So, yeah, you're adding on to your deficit here.
Yep.
It's just not going to work. So
No, these are just more important games. I mean, you'd like to win them all, obviously. We'll see what happens. I could add Dallas in there as well, but we'll see what happens to Dallas once they get Luka back because they've fallen like a stone. Since Luka got hurt, I would imagine they'll start winning some games and rebounding a little bit, but you never know. But, you know, obviously you'd like to beat Houston and beat Memphis, but those teams, you're not going to be around them probably.
You're not going to catch them at
this exactly.
Point. There's no chance.
So there's like a handful of teams that those games become have a little extra significance, and it's not like they've done well against those teams so far. So, yeah, it's you got to start picking up some of those games and put yourself in a position where at least you have the tiebreaker on one, if not two of them.
Well, the Lakers came in today. They are the only team in the West with a winning record. Actually, no, they and the Suns that have losing differentials. So
that's because a couple games they've gotten wrecked.
Yeah,
I mean they go on the road sometimes. They just get beat by. I think they lost one game by 40. They lost a couple by 25, 28. I mean, when they get beat soundly. So that's why the point differential is always a little goofy to me because I don't care how much. If I win, I win. I don't care if I win by two or win by four. And if I lose, it really doesn't matter. But the point differential, I know generally speaking, you look at the teams at the top of the Eastern Western Conference, they're going to have good point differentials. Because they've won more games than they've lost. So, of course, they're going to have good point differentials. But when the Warriors were rolling, remember, they used to have like a plus 10, plus 11.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
The Lakers back in the day, I think the 72 team had like a plus 12 or something like that. I mean, it does speak to something, but it can also be a little bit misleading. And I don't think teams care about it all that much. Win or lose.
I think the 71 Bucks who won the title?
Yeah.
They won every one of their postseason games by double digits.
Did they really?
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
How dominant. So enjoy the football tomorrow.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah.
You too. And by the way, I got to say, I like the fact that we're impartial when it comes to the electrifying player of the game. We don't go with just the home players as some broadcast
this
do.
Is the, this
we
is
just
the,
say, look, this is the way it is. This is who was the electrifying player. I don't care
yep.
who it was, who he plays for. If it's the Lakers, it doesn't matter.
It's the Bay Area. They don't want us to be homers.
We're gonna pick the guy that was the most electrifying player. Yes, I could have picked Quentin Post, but I already did that once.
All right. And you may do it again.
I may do it again.
I'd love to be able to do it again. I got to tell you, like you said, his poise is probably the most impressive thing. There's no deer in the headlights moment, no matter if he's guarding Anthony Davis or guarding whomever. Or guarding R.C. Davis. You know, he approaches the the same.
I don't know. Guarding R.C. Davis. He might actually have a little trepidation there.
Well, I've seen clips.
I know. Oh, you have?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. A little behind the head pass, you know.
Brother. Jeez. He probably thought he was white chocolate before there was even a white chocolate.
Yes, he did. Oh, yes, no. He did. Yes, he did.
That's a shame, RC. All right, I will see you Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Oh, hey, I'd be here a day early. That wouldn't be bad.
That would be fun.
I'd just be hanging out here like, hey, where is everybody?
You'd have to post a picture to social media.
Yeah, you know? I'm just sitting in here by myself. Fire up one of the stats monitors. And
let's go.
It'll be dark in here. Yeah. The glow will be on me.
Oh.
Who you got tomorrow, by the way?
You know, the experience of the Eagles is, but again, it really depends on how well Hurts is moving, I think, will be the definitive there. I expect the Commanders to come up with, like, 9 guys in the box to stop Barkley and say, okay, you're going to throw to beat us, right? So I would expect that. And so I kind of lean toward the Eagles if Hurts is reasonably healthy. And then on the other side, I don't know. I just got to – you know, you have to beat the Chiefs. You can't be up like 4 late in the game against them.
Can't do it.
You've got to beat them. And I just wonder, this may be the Bills' year maybe.
That's what I keep thinking.
Yeah.
I think we're all rooting for the Bills.
Yeah.
And we just are. They kind of got, although you didn't mind Patriot fatigue, the rest of us did. The rest of us had enough after a decade and a half.
Just do your job.
Oh, yeah. It'd be great to see it for Buffalo. Josh Allen seems like a really cool dude, but I'm with you. Man, it's just hard to see them losing a home AFC championship game. It really is.
It is.
And then I'm also with you on the Eagles, too. I like the Eagles. In fact, I like them quite significantly tomorrow. I think having played against Daniels 2 times will help them.
Right.
Kind of understand, and they don't have to. There's not going to be an adjustment period for them. But with Hurts. If Hurts is reasonably healthy, I could see them winning by double digits tomorrow. I think we could be in for a possible repeat Chiefs-Eagles, which is why I would love to see the Bills do it, just so we could see a different Super Bowl.
I remember when the Patriots made the Super Bowl, and it was at the 4th year of the 5 years in a row in the NBA Finals, and Steve came to the podium, and somebody asked him about, you know, the Super Bowl. He goes, oh, it's kind of boring to see the same team over and over again.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, man.
I remember when I bet Tim Roy dinner when the Patriots lost to the Eagles. He brought me a Hungry Man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He did not specify what kind of dinner it was. So I went to the grocery store, got him a Hungry Man dinner.
Salisbury steak?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
next thing I know, I'm getting this picture back of the empty plate.
Devastation sensation.
Oh, God. That's so beautiful. See you guys Tuesday.
Paid off my debt.
See you guys Tuesday.